You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Pit Pass on the Road with Absurd After Party. Denny Stevenson, Justin Brayden, Damon Bradshaw, Chad Swap Pedersen, a former co-host of this very show, Cody Gilmore in the house, Matt Byton, Mark Bunnell, Tony Wink. I do want to thank Mark Bunnell and Pole Position Raceway for hosting at the last minute. Our caterers have done a remarkable job of moving everything up here and, of course, some great contests and things like that. But it's always fun to be able to partner with somebody like Denny Stevenson. Denny, prior to the break, you guys were just talking about aging within the sport. There was one particular night, and I was co-announcing at Vets Auditorium, and I got to see somebody I just absolutely loved, and it's Justin Brayden. I was all geared up for it. He was geared up for it. The fans were geared up for it, and then came two broken legs. And I could not wait till the night was over, until I got to the hospital to be able to see you. They turned me away at the door. They said, are you related? I said, look at me, really? Seriously? Come on. But the news was that, of course, you had a couple injuries that you had to take care of. Can you describe that night from the time you hit the throttle until the time you hit the track?
Yeah, I remember like it was just yesterday. So rewinding a little bit, I had been in arena cross for, I believe this was going into my third season. I'd gotten fourth in the championship the year before, and I missed a few races due to injury again. But I had just signed with a team. It was my first ride, like paying job, where I got a salary, and it was on Motor World Suzuki at the time. And so I was coming in as what I thought was potentially the favorite or a guy who could potentially win the championship. The first round was in Des Moines, so I was extra excited. Like, I'm going to go win this arena cross in Des Moines. I'm going to be the points leader leaving here. Like, I had all these big plans. And that night in particular, there was we would go basically the full length of the stadium. And I remember we were doing like a triple, double or something. And I was like, man, I think I could quad that. And it was when quads weren't really that popular. Now we do quads the third lap of practice. But then it was, I think I could quad that. And it was going to be so much faster. And in arena cross, if you could do something like that, you would just be gone. So I went out, and I'll never forget it. My friend Mark that's here tonight, I don't know exactly where he said. I think he's in the back. But I remember sitting in the stands with him, and my parents like, I'm going to jump that this next practice. I'm going to jump it. And I did it, and everything was great. I think a couple people ended up jumping it. But that night in the main event, I come around. I was passing a guy, Josh DeMuth, who we all know well in arena cross. I was passing him for second. And I drug pegs up the lip, cased it over the bars, and I knew right away I'd broke my leg. And, that was a rough go because, like I said, I just signed a contract. I was on my way, what I felt like, to possibly making it a career. And right then and there, first round in Des Moines, all my dreams felt like they were shattered. And in the hospital that night, the doctor told me that from my knee down was powder, and he came in and said, well, have you ever thought about doing anything else? And I was like, not really. I think I was 20 years old at the time or something like that. And he said, well, you probably never ride a bike again, and you're going to have to learn how to walk and all these crazy things. And then we said, well, let's see the x-ray. And my stepdad looked at the x-ray, and he was like, I don't think it's as bad as what he's saying. Let's get out of here. So we basically left and called a doctor back home in Fort Dodge who we knew that was pretty good, and ended up it's obviously fine. And now we look back, hindsight 2020, but I was out that whole season, the whole year, and I'd signed a 2-year contract with Motor World, and the next year was a guaranteed Supercross contract, so I had that to look forward to. But yeah, I'm sure you guys all have had that happen before where you just feel like everything's going so good and then it's not, right? That's sports. That's life, I guess. But yeah, that night was.
It just doesn't hurt as bad in life normally. But
yeah, exactly.
Broken bones.
But rewinding back to 2000 or 2001, Vets Auditorium totally changed my life that night. And that was when Damon was coming back, and Denny was there. So a couple quick stories about that year. I believe I was a senior in high school, a junior, senior. And
did you graduate high school?
I did, yes.
Well done.
Public nice. Schools all the
I
way
did
through.
Too.
Homeschooling was not an option, and going south to ride was not an option.
Yeah, my mom, it's all my mom asked. Yeah. Graduate high school.
Yeah. So obviously, Vets Auditorium, first round of arena cross. Hey, I'm some kid from Fort Dodge, Iowa, getting bikes from Storm Lake Honda. And let's go race this arena cross that's in town. And I remember there was like 150 or 200 riders.
It was busy. I mean, it was Mike Kidd's series at the time, right? And Mike Kidd knew how to promote arena cross. He did it well.
Guys like Denny, who laundry list of accomplishments. You have Buddy Antonez, who's – I remember looking at Buddy and just being so intimidated with this bald head and like just
– just a Bruce Willis diehard
just
look.
Just like,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh, that's Buddy Antonez. And Chad, you
even,
said
even though he was like 5'6".
I did not race.
You weren't racing that year. And then you had this guy, Damon Bradshaw, who I watched on TV. And once again,
God,
who I thought was a cartoon character, like not even a real guy. He's just this guy that wins races. And
had retired and decided to come back that year, right?
Retired and he's coming back. And only 15 people make the main event. So I'm thinking, for sure I'm not going to make the main event. Maybe I'll just make the night show and I'll be on the starting gate in front of all my family, right? And friends from high school are like, oh, check him out. He's down there. So I go out for practice. Somehow I get in the practice with you guys. Like I'm in the practice with the good guys. And I come up behind Denny. I'll never forget it. I was going through the whoops, and there's a right-hand turn after the whoops. I go through the whoops, what I thought was pretty fast. I'm like, that's Denny Stevenson. And I just threw up in my helmet. I was so nervous because it was Denny. I'm not kidding. I did the same thing last night. Yeah, exactly. So then that whole weekend, I proceeded to throw up three or four times, and mainly because I was just so nervous. And so I ended up being fastest in practice. And
Checkers was there. Checkers told the story. Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I was like, I'm the fastest ahead of all these guys, right? And there were Supercross guys that would show up.
I'm sure Ken Ramsey might have been there, or with Nick Way or something.
I remember Jason Thomas and Jerry Dostal.
Pro Circuit. Mitch, for some reason, wanted to send his young kids into the lion's den, and we would usually knock them down.
Yeah. And so fast in practice, going into the night, I'm just like, this is crazy. And I hole shotted the first heat race. This is a 250 class. I wasn't that good on a 125. I don't even know if I made the main on a 125. But 250 two-stroke, I hole shot the first heat race. And Bradshaw passes me. And I'm like, this is where I can make a name for myself right now. And I actually pass him back. And threw up in my helmet again. Yeah. And I won the heat race, and we're just like, this is crazy. And I still have this picture, the full 2-page spread. And it had me passing Damon. He probably didn't want to hear it because he's raced with way better guys in his day. But there was a picture in Playground Magazine said the veteran or the rookie passes the veteran or something like that. And it was like still to this day, one of my proudest moments. And that night, honestly, that's what put me on the map. That's like no one had heard of me. There was guys there. Paul Lindsay from Motor World at the time, he was there that night. He ended up hiring me a few years later. It seemed like because then Arena Cross started in November. So everyone's eyes, the whole industry, their eyes were on Des Moines Arena Cross. That was seriously one of the biggest races of the year.
Yeah, all the industry would come out for it. We would rarely see them during the year, but all the goggle guys and gear guys would all be there. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so that night, I didn't do very good in the main. I think it was sixth or seventh. But that night, seriously, forever, I think changed my life and internally, because then I was like, hey, these guys aren't cartoon characters. I can actually be pretty good. And I don't know. I made it 2 or 3 or 4 grand that weekend. I was like, man, this is pretty sweet. Going back to school on Monday, like thinking I was a rich kid. But yeah, that weekend forever has changed my life, and racing with Damon. And he's going to make some excuse about boots or something, he's told me. I don't know if I believe it or something.
Well, the ironic thing is that night is you didn't qualify either main or either class inside.
No, 250 you did, because you got second in the heat race. 125, I think you
I'm pretty sure you didn't qualify in either one.
The first night, I don't think I qualified at all.
In either.
The second night.
We were like, ha ha, the old guy sucks. Well, then the next night he won both mains.
Maybe it was the second
night. Like, well, I guess the beast is back.
Yeah, so that was an unbelievable weekend, and just the hype around it, and racing guys like Denny and Damon. And
Arena Cross was fun. I mean, it gave us all a second career. It gave you a beginning of career, which I've always felt that when they were trying to do this rookie car, Michael Chase for Supercross, It makes no sense because I don't think arena cross has anything to do with supercross. I mean,
yeah,
you don't,
I agree, yeah.
You turn around a barrel, there's 27 mm-hmm. second lap times. It's, yeah. like, it's like comparing motocross to GNCC almost, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, if you, the fact you learned, I mean, your style was always so smooth and precise, your whoop speed, which still today is incomparable. You know, I think you, Chad Reed's about the only two guys that gets through a set of whoops. Everybody else has to hop through them, I guess.
Yeah. Actually, you helped that, Danny. So I'll never forget this either. I would go through the whoops because in arena cross, mainly it was a left hand turn sweeper into whoops. I remember just always hitting them in second gear, wound out. And these guys I would watch, like, how are they doing that? And Denny told me one time, he's like, I go through whoops in fourth. And it might have been that day at Ida Grove, actually.
We practiced with whoops because I had some skimmers that day.
Yeah.
Yep, we did.
He said, I go through them in fourth. And I'm like, my jaw hit the ground. I'm like, wait, how do you even get to fourth gear for one? I don't even know my bike has four gears. Like, and you're going to go through the whoops in fourth gear? And I remember trying it, just like timidly trying it. I'm like, it's so much better.
It helped to have a lot of legs. I had a lot of legs, so it helped. Yeah. And that was my biggest thing in 90 on the factory Suzuki's. I would hit them in the highest gear I could possibly go. And mm-hmm. and I'd learned that from practicing with Bale. Bale had to learn that whole rocking horse type thing. And if he could do that at a slower type thing, let's up the speed stuff. We can do them faster. Mm-hmm. And that was, the whoops are always one of my benefits. So I'd always liked your style of just like dropping the hammer. And even today. Yeah. And you always keep your body position is like always perfect. Like in the middle of the bike, head over the hat, over the crossbar pad.
Nowadays we need to work on jumping, I guess, huh?
Who,
everybody
me?
Just jumps whoops. No,
oh,
I need to
jumping
work
in general. Yeah, you said this year there's only two tracks that had blitzing whoops. And I don't know if anyone like listened to the Pulp show that I did in Denver, that there's apparently a conspiracy that they're talking about. Kiefer was talking about it, Mathis obviously, that the whoops will be stirred out big. They'll see Roger boogie up to the freaking, you know, whoever they talk to about that. And after practice or, you know, before, after press day, they're bowed down. I was in shock that they were even saying that. I'm like, they're like, yeah, that's been happening all season.
Yeah.
Do you think that's possible when you're there?
I have seen whoops built on Friday and Saturday during tri walk, they're mowed down for sure. But I will say, like Seattle this year, the whoops started out big. And I'm like, there's no way we'll jump these. No possible way. And me and Chad were the best guys in them. He's what, 37? I'm 35, and we're the two best guys in the whoops, which is kind of funny. And then all of a sudden, the last practice, like, I don't remember what I was in times. I'm like, I was crushing the whoops. Like, what's going on? Oh, they're all jumping the whoops now. And I'm like, how do they even jump those? You know? So it's kind of changing the game with the way we go through whoops. And Damon, you've been at a lot of races. You've witnessed it yourself. And I'm sure, Chad, you've watched on TV, but like, did you guys jump whoops a lot back in your day? Chad, did you jump quite a few whoops?
I think it wasn't as much now, but I mean, definitely did.
Whoops were just a lot different. Like,
because it would get so
beat up,
out.
Yeah.
You couldn't really.
It was pavement. It was literally pavement between the arena cross whoops.
And I mean, I would always try to hunt a fresh portion of the whoops, but in arena cross, we jumped.
Yeah.
And what was different when we rode our early start supercross season's career was when you had three promoters. So every track was built by a different crew.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. So like the West Coast was Mickey Thompson, and their track, their whoops were basically curbs. Their jumps were real squatty. Yeah, Savitsky did the East Coast ones. And then, you know, obviously Daytona was a different one. So imagine going into what part, and they talk about East West Coast dirt and East Coast dirt, but can you imagine East Coast builders and West Coast builders?
Yeah,
I mean, their tracks
crazy.
Are totally built different.
Yeah. That's wild.
Wild.
Can you imagine that now?
I can't imagine
promoters.
That. How you have to build the tracks
crazy.
And stuff.
Yeah, now we have the same track builders basically every week. They have the same guy build the whoops every week. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, some weeks they're smaller than others, and there has been races in particular where we show up on Friday. And, you know, normally we fly in Friday, but sometimes we'll have press day, and I'll see the whoops like, oh, man, this is going to be awesome. There'll be skimmers. And then you walk the track on Saturday morning. It's like, where'd they go?
It's a KTM's scandal, I guess. That's what they were calling it. I was shocked that I hadn't heard that. But someone else had said that, you know, Cooper has obviously had an outstanding season, but the whoops helped him. When there were blitzers, he was not good. When he could hop through them, they were lifesavers. And one of the other guys I was talking to was saying that that he has to purposely build the whoops so they can hop through them sometimes, you know, so it's something they can practice. Because obviously, when you try to do it that day, you're like, man, I haven't practiced
this. I'm
not
that good at it. Yeah.
Bud Man was a hopper, too.
I was a hopper.
You were a hopper.
I was a hopper.
You
live for the hopping.
Yeah. I think that year you won at Tampa. Tampa, Orlando. Those whoops are hoppers.
Yep.
They were hoppers. Track was concrete.
Yeah, that was. I don't know. That was a weird win.
What?
That was,
you
that
won
was
Tampa
weird.
in 93.
all over.
Tell us something about 96 when your ride permit, did you leave Arena Cross that year and then knock yourself out in Minneapolis? I remember watching this race.
I remember that on TV.
So swap, do we want to know if you want to?
Yeah.
So,
Fort Dodge, Fort Dodge.
Yeah, Fort Dodge.
You're from Nebraska now, Gilmore.
I'm playing Nebraska now, Denny's my boy.
Okay.
But Swap was my ultimate hero growing up my whole life. And I remember watching Minneapolis Supercross one year, and you knocked yourself out.
He was riding for Mitch?
Did you race Arena Cross?
I raced
leading the whole series and then you left Arena.
That was 97. 97 I did that when I raced with Chaparral.
You're on a Yamaha, right?
Yeah.
A Yamaha race. When you were you're leading Arena Cross, you raced the first four rounds.
Yeah.
And I think the last one you raced was Guthrie, I think. And then you went to Supercross.
Yeah, I went to Florida and I went to Indy and they had the wrong shock on my bike. So I went from first to fourth. And got the old, he's just used to Arena Cross. So then I went to following weekend, and then I podiumed with, got third with Ricky winning. And then Carmichael.
I don't know him.
And then it was the D-Day, the end of that year when I crashed and shattered my wrist. That was 97. 96, I just raced Des Moines. Had some stock bikes and raced Des Moines, and then I got ready for Minneapolis, and Jezik cross rutted in front of me, and off I went onto the concrete.
Yeah, I remember you're concussed, and then did you break your arm too?
Yep, broke my wrist.
Yeah,
yep.
I remember Cody, you remember
the hardest, you're riding for Mitch that year. Mitch is a powerhouse then too. How do you deal with that? And then you're out for the whole season.
I only missed the first round of the outdoors, and I came back and I was the top finisher on the team for sure that whole year. And me and Mitch had a great relationship. And I remember going into the 97 season, and I'm doing all the suspension testing, pipe testing. I mean, I'm burning laps for Bones and Mitch. And I'm really ready to freaking make shit happen for the next year. And all of a sudden, they let me go. And I was I couldn't believe it. I almost flipped Mitch's desk over on top of him. I was so freaking mad. So,
what was
it? Huh? They hired Decker.
Ricky?
No, Craig Decker.
Wasn't Craig on Suzuki? Craig was on Suzuki year before,
and
right?
He came back because he broke his back. And it's I don't know. I had a point to prove 97, and
so you went from Mitch to Chaparral.
Yeah. Come on.
What month was that when Mitch told you?
That was November.
Oh, so you
totally
didn't
screwed
have one.
Me.
Yeah.
And I was lucky enough that Dave Dameron. Picked me up. Totally.
Well, we have a surprise caller on the line. Mitch Payton, are you there?
Yeah.
No? Okay. Just kidding. Listen, we got to take quick time out. The combined broadcast of Absurd After Party and, of course, Pit Pass Motor Racing Weekly. Grateful for all the you that are listening, but all that have joined us here. Justin Brayton on the weekend. It's the Justin Brayton Shootout. And why he does it? He loves to give back. He likes to see the youth, but he also likes to play. And if we forget, one of the reasons why we get into racing to begin with is because we want to have fun. And we discover that some of us are better than others. And right now I'm sitting next to what I consider motorcycling royalty, and I'm very lucky to be here. Scott Casper with you for Tony Wake. We'll be back live from Pole Position Raceway in Grimes, Iowa. Stay tuned on a Justin Brayton weekend. It is Pit Pass, everybody. So, really.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to. Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.